Hello, Dr. Brad Hulsevus here, and welcome to another edition of Ask the Chiropractor. Ask the Chiropractor is my little podcast that I do. When someone has a question about chiropractic or chiropractic care, I try to answer. I'm a chiropractor here in Rockford, Illinois. I'm a proud graduate of Palmer College of Chiropractic, and I'm happy to be the team chiropractor of the Rockford IceHogs. Let's dive into it. Hello, I'm Dr. Brent Hulsevus, and thanks for joining me in another podcast. Today's podcast is fun. We got another literature review, article review. This one, it's about the disc and pathologies of the disc. Now, what we know in the spine is that you've got the different regions of the spine. You have the neck region, which is called the cervical with 7 bones. You have the thoracic area where your ribs are, and there's 12 in there. You have the lumbar, otherwise known as the lower back, and there's 5 bones down there. You have a sacrum, which is a lot of you commonly call the tailbone. And when you were little, those were 6 bones with a little disc in between. But as you go through puberty, they fuse together. And lastly, you have a little itty-bitty bone at the very end, the coccyx bone, which just there. And it's smaller than a nickel, bigger than a dime. And it just sits there. We're not too worried about that one. Between each one of these bones, we have a disc. And I found a cool PubMed article. Those of you who know me know I like PubMed. It's one of the highest reviewed journals you can go through to look at stuff. In order to get PubMed Index, they call it, you go through the highest level of scrutiny that we have today to validate your research and look for flaws and errors in your research. So when I see something that's PubMed, I feel pretty confident about it. This one's called The Risk Factors of Intervertebral Disc Pathology. A point view of formerly and today, a review. And this is by NICOLZIELINSKA from Clinical Medicine 2021. The Journal of Clinical Medicine. I'll try to put a link to this after I'm done talking so you can see it. Take a look at it yourself. But basically this research paper, what they did is they looked to see what we used to know about disc compared to what the newest research and data is showing us about vertebral disc and what we used to say and what we used to know and how much of that is still what we know today or how much is important today versus what was important before. Now, what I've been told is that when the disc bulges, because it bulges left and right all the time, and a lot of times you might have an MRI as you have a disc bulge, I would be hard-pressed to put anybody in an MRI machine and not see a little bit of a disc bulge. The question is how much is bulging, which way is it bulging, when it's hitting, when it's not hitting, which way is it going? That's the significance. And when the white part of the egg is sticking out, that's just okay. But when the nucleus or the yolk part of the egg sticks out, that's a major problem. That's something that we have to be very conscious of, and those usually require medical intervention right away. Those are really hard to come back from. But the white part, easy. So that's what we know about them. We always think like a shock absorber. More and more, we think a little differently about them now. It's more of like an adaptive cushion than a shock absorber. Because if you were to take a hard striking force straight down, the vertebrae would actually collapse before the disc would blow out. So the vertebrae will collapse, and you get what they call a compression fracture way before the disc blows out. Maybe it's not the shock absorber we thought it was. Maybe it has a different function. So that was cool to see, but that's not really what we're talking about today. We're talking about the health of the disc and what do we do to keep a disc healthy and strong. Because as the disc health goes, so does the arthritis, right? The disc goes away, the arthritis comes in. How do you keep the disc healthy and happy? We've always known if you had a job, an occupational job, manual labor, you had to go out and lift things, move things, use a jackhammer. Here in town, we have UPS and Amazon. If you're moving and lifting boxes all the time, we talk to you all the time until we're blue in the face about how to properly lift, bend and twist, lay things down. We know these repetitive physical jobs are going to take a toll on those discs over time. And that's true. I mean, that's always been true. And a lot of times you tell people, well, you might want to retire and go get yourself a good desk job because we don't know how much more your back can handle. That is wrong. That has been proven wrong now because when you have the acute, the injury of the disc, it mostly happens from that kind of a job, a labor job. But when you're sitting all day in a desk, you're not moving. And what we know now is that the people who sit behind a desk all day long and never get up and move or bend or twist, their spine are decaying at a rapid rate. So when you have a job, but you're sitting behind a desk, it's just as important for us as chiropractors to teach you how to get up every half an hour to an hour and do a stretching routine as it is for the person operating the jackhammer. Because those people sitting behind a desk and sitting all day long, we're finding more and more that they're the ones getting the bad discs. So it's up to your chiropractor to tell you how to get up and move around. What exercises and stretches do you need? What should you be focused on? Your chiropractor will tell you that based on how your spine adjusts, how your spine aligns, and what's going on with your spine overall. Only the chiropractor can answer those questions. The chiropractor might work with a physical trainer or a personal trainer or a physical therapist once they have those, but the chiropractor will set them on the right path to find those answers. So that's what I recommend, is find your chiropractor and find those stretches, especially if you have a seated job all day. Just because you're not swinging an axe or a hammer doesn't mean your spine's not suffering. We had an old saying, sitting to your spine is the same as sugar to your teeth. And this research paper shows, man, that's true. That's a real problem, sitting all day. Another thing that we used to talk a lot about was genetics. So the doctor, I do this all the time, I'm like, do you have any predisposed medical conditions from a genetic, from your family tree, anything about your mother's or father's history we should know? And they always get mad at me, and I always say, no, it's all irrelevant. It's only my lifestyles and the environment I live in, nature versus nurture. And I drive them nuts with that, but I do it every time. And we're finding out that's true. If your mother had degenerative disc disease and her disc wore away really fast, it might have a slight factor on what you're doing, but not enough for us to care, change, or get involved in it. So the research is showing that was not nearly as important at all as we used to think it was. So diving into those does not matter that much as far as looking for genetic testing. There's absolutely no research or science at all that shows that we should do genetic testing or genetic markers for disc issues. It's almost irrelevant. It's almost about, because if your mom decided she's going to work a physical job her whole life to pay for you to go to college, and then she was able to pay your tuition to get you off the college, and then you get a nice job, let's say as an attorney, or maybe somewhere where you're computer tech and you're sitting behind the desk all day, do your mom and you have the same stress to your spine? No. So if mom was out there working physically her whole life, whatever it might have been, working at UPS or something at the post office and moving boxes and stuff, and you're behind a desk all day typing, those are two completely different lifestyles, two completely different stressors. They're both equally important to get your spine checked. But just because she did that doesn't mean it affects you at all. Not that big of an issue like we first made it out to be. The biggest thing we look at too overall now is what the disc needs for nutrition and health. We know that more than ever before. How much are you moving? Are you drinking enough water? Did you know vitamin D3 is very important to your discs? We're finding this out. This is like newest research. So you keep telling, go outside, get some sunshine. Take your vitamin D3 in the wintertime if you're not outside enough. Get that D3. It's so important. Not only is it important for your white blood cells, but now we're finding out it's more and more important for your disc too, because those collagen fibers need that vitamin D3 to function. So you got to get your vitamin D3. You got to get that. It's just the rule of thumb. Some of you say, I go outside enough. Here's the rule. You're supposed to spend the equivalent to 30 minutes a day outside in your swimsuit. So if you're outside in t-shirt and shorts, you got to be at least outside for an hour. If you're outside with jeans on and short sleeves and your face uncovered, hour and a half, 2 hours. If you're outside with long sleeves, only your face uncovered, you got to be out there for a while. And if you got a job all day long and you're not out there that much, then you're not getting enough. Remember, if you take your vitamin D3, too, it helps be with a healthy fat. So if you get a white powder pill that someone prescribes you, that's junk. That's garbage. It's got to be with a healthy fat. So we have ones with little droppers here, or we have ones in your fish oil. Those are in a gel cap with oil. Oil is a healthy fat. There you go. Very important. So we're finding out that it's the nutrients that gets into your disc. It's the motion that your disc desperately needs. And then last but not least, we talk about flexibility and just challenging your stabilization muscles, something I talk about all the time. Those stabilization muscles are key to keeping your spine healthy. We're also finding out those are very key to your disc too. Another thing that also can really hurt your disc and make your disc degenerate at a rapid rate, your body mass index is too high. If you got to lose some weight, you got to get in shape, those are important. And the other one too is smoking. If you're still smoking, you just got to quit. And just got to quit. I'm glad it's not like it used to be, but smoking would just deteriorate those discs so fast. So there you have it. A little bit of new research compared to the old research. Some of it still holds up. Some of it's just as important as it ever was. If you have a manual job, it's very important you do stuff. If you're looking for genetic tracers, like there was a big time for a long time, that was going to be the key to the future to know whether or not you had problems. That's not holding any truth at all. But if you have a sedentary job or a desk job, you got to get up and move and stretch. There's this, the research is abundantly obvious and clear. You got to get up and move and stretch. You got to drink enough water. You got to get your vitamin D3. You got to move and you got to exercise. You got to get in shape. That's the only way to maintain these. And your chiropractor is the one with the most skilled and the most trained to get the motion back in those discs and get the motion back in your spine and show you effective ways to get back into motion. So if you're going to worry about your discs, you're worried about the degenerative disc disease, stuff like that, the only person that can guide you in the past, the best person to guide you in this path, by far, without a question of a doubt, is a chiropractor. Go find a good chiropractor, have them take your x-rays, tell you what's going on with the height of your disc, the health of your disc, and the health of your vertebrae, and take it from there. All right, there you have newest research. Again, I'll try to put a link in the bottom wherever you're seeing this. I'm going to put a link there. Hopefully it travels with this and everybody gets to see it. I'll do my best to include the link and take it from there. All right, remember, if you have questions about chiropractic or chiropractic care, there's only one person qualified to answer that, and that would be a chiropractor. We have a medical school here in town. They do not teach anything about chiropractic. There's nothing covered or talked about. So when you ask them, a medical doctor, your family doctor, what about chiropractic, you're talking to somebody completely uneducated on the subject. If you ask me about your cavity and your fifth tooth and your back and left side here, what should you do about it? I don't know. You need to go ask a dentist. Don't ask me. If you have a toenail issue, you don't ask your dentist. You ask a podiatrist. So if you have a question about chiropractic or chiropractic care, go ahead and leave me a message wherever you're hearing this or seeing this. And they'll get back to me and I'll be happy to answer your question next time. Thanks, everybody.